We'll open up to 1 John chapter 4. This morning's 8:30 service. All I can do is a quick review of that message so we can go on from there tonight a little bit. This is a perfect subject for a class for like calling in the lost, where calling in the lost is all about dropping something off with God, leaving it in the place called done, calling those things which be not as though they were that agree with that until they are. I mean, that's what we do here, okay? And Dave was teaching this morning. I don't know what title they'll put on it, but he was really teaching on the part, you know, when the woman at the well was asking Jesus about worship. And he says, well, the day will come when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem will you worship. For God, the true worshipers that God is seeking after, they will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He said, well, and he got a lot of revelation fairly early on about the in spirit part. Okay, but he says, what does that mean about worship Him in truth? So he kept praying and getting a little bit. And then finally, God gave him a parable. I'm really summarizing. I mean, we don't have much time here. You need to get that message. Even if you were there, you need to get that message. Okay? Because he was serving up revelation knowledge that is really right on the cutting edge of what the church knows today. But it is in such milk form that it's very easy to digest. So I'm greatly summarizing. But anyway, what does in truth mean? I worship God in spirit. Well, that's the rebirth. But what about this in truth? What does that mean? So in order to help understand it, God gave him the parable of Chuck the duck. How many of you remember the parable of Chuck the duck, you know? Chuck was before he was hatched, his little egg got lost somehow, and it was adopted by a chicken family. So a chicken actually set on the duck egg. And so Chuck, when he was born into a chicken family. He was always the odd one. You know, you can see him going around following the chickens, you know, and they'd be scratching in the yard trying to find worms, and it's kind of hard for him with those webbed feet, you know, but he would, and they would have those real sharp little pointy beaks, and they're able to get the little worms and everything, and he has a real thick, flat bill, you know, and it was always difficult for him, but his whole life he just thought he was an odd chicken. Anyone ever feel like anyway? You know? So he just thought he was a strange chicken, kind of a failure chicken, you know, and didn't really measure up as a good chicken, but he tried to be a chicken. Then one day a flock of, I'm leaving something out. Strangely, all through his life, you know, chickens don't swim, but strangely, as they would go past the pond, he always would feel drawn towards the water. He never understood exactly why, but there, he'd head towards the water and mother chicken had run over there and, no, Chuck, don't you get in that water. Chickens don't swim. You get back over here. Well, one day, a flock of ducks landed in the pond. He went over to see this. He'd never seen ducks before. And when they landed and they saw him on the shore, they said, well, hello, duck. He says, I'm not a duck. I'm a chicken. He said, no, you're a duck. Look at your reflection. Look at your reflection in the water. You're like us. And he looked at his reflection, and sure enough, he looked at their duck bill. He had a duck bill just like theirs. He looked at their web feet, looked at his web feet. He said, well, it began to dawn on him. Maybe I'm really not a chicken. Maybe I'm really a duck. But then the ducks went one step beyond. They said, now watch what else we can do. Look what you can do. And they began going across and flapping their wings. And eventually they lifted off and the whole flock went up through the sky. And I mean, Chuck the duck, he just, in amazement, he was watching this. He said, part of him's going, I could never do that. They come back around. He says, come on now, this next time you fly with us. I can't do that. You're a duck. Listen to me. Look at your reflection. You're a duck. What we can do, you can do. Come on, get in line. Flap with us. And sure enough, when he did what they did, when they lifted off, he lifted off. Now he was a duck in truth. You got that? Can you see the parallel? Worshipping God in spirit, We thank God for all of that. That's the part He did for us that we could not do for ourselves. But He's after worship in truth. And that's where we begin to actually believe what He has done for us. To the point, we'll start walking like He walked. Worship in truth for the duck. Fly, boy. Fly. Worship in truth for Christians. Walk as He walked. All right, so let's look at this from Scripture now. Now that is profound. I'm telling you, if the church ever gets a hold of that, well, the revival is here. It's profound. But Dave went in a lot more detail than I did right there. And such, I taught that same thing from a more meaty angle. Coming at it, serving more like a pork chop instead of milk a few weeks ago. And even people that, they greatly love me and I highly respect them. At the end of that service, I'm not sure I can agree with you on that. And it was exactly the same message. The same truth. Taught in a different way. Okay? Dave has a real gift for serving up incredibly difficult things in milk form. Well, let's look at, if you haven't found 1 John by now, some of you came in late. We're going to 1 John chapter 4 and looking at verse 17. It said, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment." Now here it is. "Because as He was." No. As we will be someday. No. "As He is, so will we be when we get to heaven." No. "As He is, so are we in this world." Me too. You read that? You don't want to call John a liar? "As He is, so are we in this world." Jesus said it this way, "The works that I do, shall you do also, because I go unto the Father." Did He not say that? All right, He said, another place He said, it is enough for the disciple to be as his master. Over and over again. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Because something is hindering us. You're not calling John a liar, are you? He's telling the truth, isn't he? Well, me too. He's telling the truth. Trouble of it is, here we go again. We know those things. We have a Bible. We read them. We're not calling John a liar. But the difference between knowing those things and operating in them, like Dave says, seems to be longer than most of our lifetimes. Everyone say, "Not for me." We're going to walk in these things, see? So I've been thinking about that again all day today after Dave did Chuck the Duck. I've been doing what I'm supposed to be doing. We're supposed to not, when you come and spend time letting him put God's word into you, you're supposed to meditate on these things. I've been thinking about this all day, and a lot of messages I've taught myself, rolling over and rolling over. Look how many times we've looked at this verse, 1 Corinthians 3:18. I think it's 1 Corinthians. It might be 2nd. Hang on. Is it 2nd? Okay, yeah, 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 3:18. Yeah, there it is. Now see, this is a transformation verse. This tells you plainly how the transformation takes place. Look at what this says. We'll back up a little bit for context. It says, verse 17, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass," and the better translation of that word is mirror, "beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Whose image are you supposed to look at in the mirror? As we behold, we look in the mirror, and what we see there is the glory of the Lord. But we're supposed to behold that as a mirror. Yes. Where we keep missing it, I am convinced, we look in the mirror and see the glory of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We see what Jesus does. We see who He is. But rather than stand there in front of the same mirror so He can change us, mm-hmm. we turn around and look in a natural mirror, mm-hmm. like James talks about. And we compare what Jesus is to what we see in ourselves, our natural selves. And we choose to believe that we are what we are instead of what the Word says we are. You can't change like that. You are already in that image. That's why, you know, the world calls it like it is. Calling things that are as though they are, has no power to change what are. Because it already are. It already are that. Bad English, but it makes the point. You're already that. You're just reinforcing what you already are. Yes, see, this ties in with exactly what Tim said during the conference. He said every single one of us, we're either living in the present past or we're living in a present future. The Lord said it through me, to one lady this way. They said, God said to that lady, this boy just jumped out of me. I am bigger than your history. I am bigger than your history. How long will you bow down before the God of history and let history tell you what your future is? There's a series coming on that. That's what we do, though, all the time. We call it, it's the enemy taking advantage of false humility. But really, it's pride. It really is. I know who I am. Yeah, but the Bible says, as He is, so are we in this world. Now, years ago, I have these... This is called the Mirror Confessions. It's something I did many, many years ago when I was first teaching on this. It is available at the website if you want to print your own copy. It's in the section, in the media section under printed materials. And you could, under the PDF files, you can just print it out. But I was making these up trying to, if we don't at least, you know, can two walk together lest they be agreed? You're going to have to make up our... See, this is going to take faith at a higher level than finance. This is faith at a higher level than healing, to be honest with you. Mm-hmm. And you know why? Because we so are doggedly determined that we know who we are. And we say things like this. I know how I am. What are you basing that on? I know what you mean when you say that. I want to know what you're basing that on. Are you basing that on the Word of God?
No.
Are you basing it on your history?
Yeah.
You're basing it on a lifetime pattern. For example, if we were to look in the mirror and do like 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, and behold the glory of the Lord. Let me just pick one here. Would you say that as you behold the glory of Jesus in that mirror, could you, and let's just say you began to worship Him there. Oh, Jesus, You are. What would be a statement? How about holy? Would that be a perfect statement for Jesus? Oh, Jesus, I see Your glory. I worship You, Lord. You are holy. We sing those songs. Holy, holy, holy is the Lamb Almighty. You know, worship You, Lord. You are holy. I mean, we could spend an hour there. Just worship the Lord for the holiness. But then what? There's something on the inside that cringes at the thought of saying, as You are, so am I in this world. Because we know us. And we go, well, as You are, let's see now, You are holy. And everything in you cringes at the thought of saying, I am holy. Look, run, look out for thunderbolts. But what does it say? As He is, so are we in this world. If you're going to say, if it's a mirror and you see him, he's not going to change, you know. His image changes not. He's holy today. He'll be holy tomorrow. He'll be holy next week when you look in that mirror. He's not going to change. Guess who needs to change? Now, to see, the reason why we can say it in faith, we tend to base our statements about ourselves on our past history, even if that was 10 minutes ago. When really the truth is, we are what He says we are. We are what He says we are. And it, see, and it's really more than that. The seed of holiness, for example, is on the inside of you. His nature, okay? Now, here we go back to Chuck the Duck. Chuck the Duck. When the flock of ducks landed, is that the way, is it a flock or a gaggle? Yeah, gaggle's geese, isn't it? Okay, when the flock of ducks landed, and they said, "Hello, duck." And he says, "I'm not a duck, I'm a chicken." Now, look in the mirror. Now, in this case, it really was a duck. Now, we're trying to get you to look in a mirror. Okay? The reality is, you are not the creature you think you are. In a way, you think, we have all been going, most of our lives, we went to chicken churches. And many new creatures that are truly born again are still going to chicken churches and they're eating chicken food. The message that I taught was a little more meaty. I called it the church of the firstborn. Yeah. And I said, most of our lives, you know, we've only gone in to worship the only born. But that's not what the Bible says. No, we are members of the church of the firstborn. And we need to be learning what we are since we've been born again. We need duck food. We need born again food for people that can walk on water and open blind eyes.
Amen.
That's all in the name of the Lord. Don't misunderstand me. It's all by grace. We don't earn nothing, none of this. It's a free gift. But if we don't possess this land by faith somehow, we're not ever going to walk in it. Can two walk together lest they be agreed? The first thing that has to happen, our mouths have got to come in agreement with what the Word says we are. Many people don't like this. I'm sorry. Confession brings possession. And I'm telling you right now, you will never rise above your confession. You'll never rise above it. And it applies to any area of life. Your health, your wealth, your anointing. Now, except in the area of the gifts. We've talked about that so many times, I don't think I need to say much about that. Listen, God can anoint a 5-year-old baby in Christ with the gift of healing. Now, he may run off with the secretary and the money a year down the road. Okay? But he can anoint by the gifts. But when it comes to what you're walking in on a resident anointing, that takes maturity. He's trying to get us somewhere beyond babies anointed with the Holy Ghost. Amen? All right, so let's do it for a minute. Stand. Okay, close your eyes. Look in the mirror. See Jesus however you see Him. Is He holy? Let's worship Him. Jesus, You are holy. I love You, Jesus. I thank You that I'm so glad that You're holy, that there's no sin in You, that You are separate, harmless, and holy. I love You, Jesus. Jesus, You are holy. I love You, Jesus. Can you see Him? Can you see the glory of the Lord? Is He not holy? Now say this, as He is, so am I.
So am I.
In this world.
In this world.
He is holy.
He is holy.
I am holy. I am holy. All right. All right. I wondered if there'd be a courageous one. I was waiting. I am holy. Now see, something in you cringes a little bit. And no, not with some. They've done it for a while. When you first start doing this, something cringes. You know what that is? That's unbelief. We think it's something else. We think it's almost something, oh, how could I say this? See, religion will jump right on you. They'll smack you right upside the head in a bad way. They'll smack you right upside. Who do you think you are? If we ever get this, we'll say, I think I am who the Bible says I am. I think I am who the Bible says I am. Let's look at another one real quick. How about this? Would you say Jesus walks in the light?
Yes.
You know, John talks about that. We were in 1 John. We're supposed to walk in the light as He is in the light. Well, we look at Jesus. Does He walk in any darkness at all?
No.
But, you know, the letters I get, the counseling requests I get, I'm so confused. I don't know what to do. My path is dark. Mm-hmm. You keep talking like that, you're going to stay confused. Your path will remain dark. We worship Him. Jesus, You walk in the light. As You are, so am I in this world. I don't care how confused my brain seems. I walk in the light as You walk in the light. You have the same Holy Ghost, by the way, that led His humanity. You know, He laid down His deity. Everything He walked in, we can walk in. There you go again. Religion will smack you right upside the head for saying something like that. But not saying stuff like that is why we're still eating chicken food and living in chicken pens and having chicken results. Scratching out a living instead of flying with the ducks, you know, flying like we should be. It's time for the church to worship Him in truth. In truth. In truth. Let's look at a few other things. Oh, how about this one? Would you say Jesus is anointed with the Holy Ghost?
Yes.
Now, what are you going to say about yourself? I am anointed by the Holy Ghost. Many of these things are in the confessions, even as we go through them in a little while. And I always give people, of course, permission to leave. I know people work and all kinds of things. But be honest now, one of the most difficult things to get human beings to do is truly to call those things that be not as though they are. They normally tell things like it is. And there's very few places where you can go where on purpose for 45 minutes or so, you can practice calling things that be not as though they were.
Amen.
It's good for you. It's hard to find any place that'll train you in that. Let's look at just a couple more. Okay, sandala brasto sandala. That's happening to me. Wasn't that cute today? Pastor would just be in the middle of a sentence, and then it'd swift over to tongues, and he'd go, "Did you get that?" Oh my! I can't really. It's not a cura ma sandala bratus kiti otus de monda de brato. The weakest among you, I have empowered by my Spirit. The weakest among you. This is why I said, born of women, there's not arisen one greater than John the Baptist. But the least in the kingdom of God, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John. The least, the most powerless among you. I think he's saying in the natural, the one that we would look at and think, oh, because it's what he has done for us.
Yes, yes.
But not what we've done for ourselves. God's raising up an army of Gideons. More than Gideons. But the type and shadow is Gideon. We're all going, who am I? We're all afraid of the Midianites, you know. We're hiding behind the wagon threshing out a little corn. God's coming at us. You are my mighty people of valor. And we're going, no, no, not me. See, here's what we do. God, can't you see me? And he goes, can't you see Christ in you? He goes, can't you see me? God says, in you. Quit looking at you. Look at Christ in you.
Amen.
See? We've all been worshiping at the church of the only begotten. And it's time we really take our seat in the church of the firstborn. Because he is the firstborn of many brethren. We're believing lies. Not walking in what he's really called us to walk in. I really recommend that 8:30 message this morning. Now, need to get that. Listen to it again. I'm going to get it and listen to it again and again. It does. It feeds me. I'm ready to fly. I'm past ready to fly. We need to get on with it. Amen. We'll do a couple more of these, and then would you say that? What does Jesus say about Him and the Father? Hey, before we do this one, go to John 17, so you, just so you'll know you're not saying anything that's heresy. we're just going to say what He said. That's okay. Jesus was praying this what we call the high priestly prayer, right before the cross. And He was praying all of these things. We're going to pick it up way back here at verse 20. So you'll know He wasn't just praying for the apostles. See, that's one that I grew up with. Well, that was just for the 12, you know. But look, in this prayer, He says in verse 20, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on Me through their word." One way or another, you heard the gospel from the word passed down from one of these men. So He's praying as much for you as He was for them. And He says in verse 21, "that they all may be one, as Thou, Father, art in Me and I in Thee, that they also may be one in Us, that the world may believe that Thou hast sent Me." And the glory, this is a hard one now, "and the glory which Thou gavest Me, I have given them." Now look up here at me. We read that all the time. You've heard it. How many times have you read that? I double dog dare you to go to one of your denominational relatives. And in the course of a conversation, you know, maybe they're eating broccoli soup at Panera Bread. I don't know. Say, "Oh, by the way, did you know that the same glory that the Father gave Jesus, did you know Jesus gave that same glory to Me and I have it?" It'll remind you of a scene from The Exorcist as the pea soup propels across the... But what did He just say? "The glory which Thou gave Me, Father..." I said this to my dad once. That was a mistake. Bless. He loves the Lord and on His way to heaven. But you can only go so far when people aren't Spirit-filled. Thank God you have the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Amen.
You have the teacher on the inside of you. It's almost impossible for people that do not have the Holy Ghost to understand this. No, let's just say it. The glory.
The glory.
Which the Father gave Jesus.
The Father gave Jesus.
Jesus has given Me.
Jesus has given Me.
That same glory.
That same glory.
Let's say it another way, till it bothers you. I have the same glory.
I have the same glory.
On Me.
On Me.
That Jesus had on Him.
That Jesus had on Him.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Look in the mirror.
Yes.
Look at your reflection in the pond, duck. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, these things are spiritually discerned. Dave, that parable to me, I don't know that it did or not, but when I hear Dave teach about Chuck the duck and that parable, it always reminds me of this passage right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we'll pick it up in verse 12. It says, "Now we have received..." He's talking about writing this letter to the Corinthians now that they've been born again. Now that we've been born again, "we have received not the spirit," little s, "of the world, but the spirit," little s, "which is of God." That's your new nature. And why? Why did God have to give us a new nature? "That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." Oh, here's how to help you. Here's how to help you. Get that picture again. Here's Chuck the duck. There's the flock of ducks out on the water. And they've asked Chuck to come up and look at his reflection. Now, because he really has the nature of a duck, when he looks in there, he sees his own reflection. What if a chicken came up right beside him and looked in the same water? Would it work for a chicken? Everyone's real quiet. No, it won't work for a chicken. You must be born again. You have to have this. That's what this passage is saying. This only works if you've been born again. You must be born. But if you've been born again, don't look at your natural reflection anymore. Look in the gospel mirror. The only way you can see your true reflection is to look at Jesus. Boy, that was worth the price of admission right there if we charged one. The only way you can see your true reflection is to look at Jesus. He is the manifestation, the fullness, that new nature come to maturity. He is the only mirror you can look at to see who you truly are. God, that's good stuff.
Hallelujah.
The Muslim can come and look in the mirror. It will not work. The Hindu can come and look in the mirror. It will not work. They are a chicken. An unbeliever in the sense of they don't believe, as an atheist, an agnostic. They can look in the mirror. It will not work. You have to have His nature.
Yes.
These things are spiritually discerned. You have the nature of Christ because you have the seed of Christ on the inside. And looking in the mirror draws it out. Mm-hmm. All right? That's what he's saying in this passage here. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now think about Chuck the duck. He says, you're not a chicken. Look at your reflection. Oh, let me go one more verse. This will work better. Verse 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, get this, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now that's exactly what those ducks were teaching Chuck in the parable. That's what they were teaching. They were teaching him duck things, not chicken things. Look at your reflection. Look at my bill, the duck would say, and look at your bill. It's the same. And it's true. Why? Because he truly had the nature of a duck. He truly had it. You truly have the nature of Christ.
Yes.
Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What we keep doing is comparing spiritual things with our natural things. Oh, he's holy, but I'm not. What are you basing that on? Well, I'm basing it on what I see, what I feel. That doesn't sound a whole lot like faith to me. Faith believes what God says no matter what you see, no matter what you feel. If it says you're holy, then you are. Yeah, but I just sinned. Repent, let Him cleanse you by the blood, and instantly you're restored to perfect holiness again. This is the one thing Adam never had. We have something infinitely more than Adam had. That is that continual priestly anointing of the blood of Jesus Christ to continually cleanse us from all sin. Is that good stuff or what? But we're going to have to do something on purpose. He keeps on going here. Which things, verse 13, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. The Holy Ghost has landed in your pond. And he's saying, hello there, you man or woman of God. Oh, no, you must be talking about Daisy. You couldn't be talking about me because I'm all messed up and I'm always messing up and I'm always doing this wrong and I'm always doing that. And besides that, sometimes I even sin. Sounds like Gideon. I know who I am. I am afraid of the Midianites. I'm over here hiding and just trying to thresh out a little corn. God says, my mighty man of valor. Once the Holy Ghost will say, I say to you again, no matter what you say, He's not going to change His witness. Hello, you man or woman of God, made in the image of Christ. He says, "You say, how? Look at me. How can you say that about me? He says, no. You look at Christ, and how can you say anything different?
Hallelujah.
You, say it with me, as He is, so am I. in this world. Say it again. As He is, so am I in this world. You know what the Father's waiting for? Those that worship Him in spirit. He's glad we found out that part. Just to learn even these things about who we are in Christ. That's all great. He does love that part. It's wonderful. Boy, what He's really waiting for. He said, is this flock ever going to lift off and fly? Start doing the same works that He did. That's when we're really going to start worshiping Him, not just in spirit, but in truth. Glory to God. I'm looking forward to that. I'm so glad I'm going to a church where there's duck food. Duck food. Hallelujah. All right, I think that's as far as we better go tonight. If you'd like a copy of that, again, it's called The Mirror Confessions. They're at the website. You can make your own. I just went through and found some scriptures. You could go to any of them. As you see Jesus, whatever you see in Him, as He is, so are you in this world.
Amen.
But we're going to have to do something on purpose to renew our mind. Obviously, what we've been doing to this point has not been working. I think we're going to have to actually get into this and spend some time on purpose, mm-hmm, renewing our mind.
Yes.
Letting the Holy Ghost bring forward the manifestation of these things.
Hallelujah.
Amen?
Yes.
Oh, I just heard this real clear.
Yes.
It was not, I know you've heard this phrase before, but it's perfect with tonight's teachings.
Mm.
It was never the giants that kept Israel out of the promised land. The book of Hebrews tells you real plain. Because of their unbelief. The only thing that's keeping us from flying, can I say it that way? Is our unbelief. Therefore, we have to work on the part of us that does not believe until we do believe. And that's really our only job. The only thing keeping us from those things? Unbelief. The result of chicken food. Results in chicken thinking.
Yes.
Got that? Which is thinking. But that's it. It's just unbelief. It's not even the devil. That's what's scary. It's not the devil. It's not the giants. It's unbelief. Be no longer conformed to this world. But be you transformed by the renewing of the mind. He's already done the renewal in the spirit. It's the renewing in the mind. Hallelujah.